What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?
Welcome to Mr. Chaz's Leadership, Parenting, and Teaching Podcast, where I introduce you to the people that can help you on your parenting, teaching, or leadership journey. And today I have someone who I've been following for a while, and you probably have been following him too. I feel like our algorithms are kind of similar. Probably people who follow me probably follow him. So without further ado, I'm going to let him introduce himself and we'll get started with the conversation. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm John. I am Whole Parent on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and whatever new social platform comes up in the next 18 minutes. I help people parent better. Basically, I just, that's what I do. I am on the internet. I have a membership, but I just help people try and break the cycles in their life, think about parenting a little bit differently, and parent in a healthy, emotionally healthy, mentally healthy, physically healthy way.
Okay. Awesome. So, you are a parent yourself. How old are your kids?
So I have 3 kids. I like to say I have 3 kids so far. I have a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and yeah, you never know. But me and my wife love being parents. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I have a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a little over a 1-year-old. He's like 16 months now.
Oh, okay. All right. So I want to kind of start off by really asking about your journey into this, because you say, you know, you help people parent better. Have you always been kind of doing this work? Have you, you know, what was your journey like as a parent when you had your first? Had you already been kind of reading, been into the books, or what was that journey like for you?
Yeah, you know, I think the first person who helped me parent better was my wife. So really the journey begins where I think like so many men, but I'm sure just so many parents. When I first became a dad, I was just super overwhelmed by the concept of parenting. Now, 6 years later, I realized that actually my 6-year-old has some challenges that are pretty unique to him. I became a parent while I was in grad school and I was in some counseling, master's degree level counseling courses. And I never connected what we were doing in those courses, trauma-informed counseling, stuff like that, to parenting at all. I just never made that connection. And so I was well on the path, you know, 6 months into parenting, of basically just carrying on the exact same parenting that was done to me. And I want to say, you know, I did not have the most difficult childhood. I definitely had parents who were command, demand, you know, authoritarian at times, but also who did not really punish harshly. I got put in a timeout. I got slapped across the face, but mostly that was in middle school when I was talking back a little bit too much. And it was all reactive. I was not raised with corporal punishment or you know, kind of brutal punishments. A lot of my, you know, so my parenting journey probably wouldn't have been that harmful or anything like that. But it's kind of started. So 6 months in, I was well on my way to just kind of doing that. And hey, that's going to work. People like to say I turned out fine. That's kind of how I felt. I had made meaning out of my parenting journey, that I was pretty happy with the person who I had become. And so that means my parents must have done a good job, right? So I got to do the same thing. But then we became licensed foster parents. And in the process of becoming licensed foster parents, which we never wound up fostering a kid because the state of Illinois is a huge mess, and that's a topic for another podcast. In the process of becoming licensed foster parents, we really started to see and read some of these books about healthy parenting and, you know, punishment-free parenting and positive parenting, respectful parenting, what we call today often gentle parenting. And what I was reading was paralleling what I was learning about trauma-informed counseling and caring for people. And I was actively working as a chaplain while I'm reading these things about how you can care for and take care of children who have had traumatic pasts. and difficult, challenging tasks and the behaviors that come out of those. And all of a sudden just clicked. And I just became like, I just fell down the hole. I think I read 5 parenting books in the first month that I started to really see this. I remember The Whole Brain Child was like the first one that I really jumped into. I had read some books about parenting foster care kids, parenting the hurt child and other things like that first. But really when I started to just see this as like, no, this is just the paradigm for all parenting, I started to go down that path. And then, through that journey of really learning, I only really had to apply it to myself. I didn't have a lot of friends. We had kids young, so I didn't have that many friends who had kids. I married my high school sweetheart, so we were kind of an unaccelerated timeline. But then shortly after, we had, maybe year 2 or 3 with my son, our friends started to have kids. I started to have relationships with people who had kids, and they were just as overwhelmed as I was 6 months in. And they were starting to make the same kind of, well, I don't know what to do, but I guess I'm just going to do what my parents did. But they came to me because I had a 3-year-old and asked, well, what do you think I should do? And what they didn't know that they were going to be hit by was just this wave of like, I've read every book on this. So like they would just get like drinking out of a fire hose. I'm like, well, have you ever thought about how, like, and just like really going hard in the paint on this stuff. And they were like, you got to put this stuff online, man. And so I had another TikTok account about something completely different that's a little bit more related to my formalized education, because I did do counseling, but it was only a small part of my degree program. I had another TikTok that took off related to my formalized education background. And then somebody was like, well, why don't you just do this for parenting too? And so I started posting videos on TikTok. That was a little over a year ago. And today, yeah, I don't know. It's just been kind of taking me for a ride. Yeah. So yeah, that's the journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's pretty powerful. You had kids a little earlier than your friends. You just started learning really for yourself. And then when they had kids, they were like, well, we're just going to kind of mosey along and just do, what our parents said. And you're like, wait, hold up. There's so much more out there.
Yes.
And you started to, were they receptive with the information? Did they, or do they like, are yeah. they, do they still come to United now? And, are they on their own, journeys?
Yeah, I think they are on there. I think all of us are on our own journeys, and some of them have moved away and I don't have as much contact with them anymore. Yeah. One thing I'll tell you is that nobody in my family listens to a word of what I say. So, my brother as a kid that's 2 weeks away from my third. So my brother's fourth and my third are 2 weeks apart in age. And my brother has never asked me for a piece of parenting advice in his life. He's 10 years older than me. He's not interested. Yeah. So, I think some of them still do. But I think that they were receptive because the way that I framed it was not like, hey, I have all the answers here. I think the way that I framed it was really, I've always really been an educator. That's just always been my paradigm. And so the way that I framed it was like, hey, look, here's the best available research about this. Like, I'm not giving it to you for me. I'm not making this stuff up. Like, this is what the data shows. And I will say my formalized education background allowed me to know how to research well. So when people say I did my research and they mean like I did a Google search, like, no, like I'm reading like I'm getting subscriptions so that I can read psychological studies. I'm looking up DOI numbers. Like I was going deep into the research. And so it wasn't like I was telling them something that's like, well, this worked for me. In fact, I don't like when people say that, right? Like, I'm sure you get that all the time. People are like, well, how many kids have you had? Right. It's like, well, if I'm giving you advice based on my personal experience, then that's anecdotal advice. That's not good advice. I should be giving you advice based on what the data leads to. And so that's what I was doing. And I think that they were receptive because of that.
Yeah. And I think too, also, you said that you were just, you're just friends as being friends, and you weren't really trying to come out with them like, oh, like I need to educate you on what you're doing wrong. It sounds like they came to you. And I've always, that's always really kind of, seems to be more impactful when you really just build that relationship first without trying to teach or get anything out of the other person. And then they casually, that's kind of how it happened for me. But like as a teacher, just really being on my own journey and people just asking me questions and me kind of casually just answering their questions and support and then just getting feedback from, you know, the support that I was giving them.
And they notice, right? And that's the thing. Like, you know, I think that the reason that I started getting questions was that, I mean, so I was at the library last night with my kids, right? And this is not to judge or shame any parents, right? But there was a bunch of parents, there was parents there that had like 8 kids. It was mom and dad, 8 kids between the ages of 12 and 1. And she looked like she was pregnant. And I was like, wow. So like these people really do parenting. But like the entire paradigm, whether it was the 10-year-old or the 3-year-old, was just threats, right? Like any stepping out of line, the threat was just like ready. It was like primed, ready to just come out, right? If you do that again, I'm going to make you sit in the stroller for the rest of the time that we're here, right? And I think what my friends saw was that I had this 3-year-old who was tough. I mean, he has some stuff. He has some sensory stuff. He's just very, very highly sensitive and emotional. And they saw me parenting without doing the stuff. Like, I just didn't react the way that they were expecting me to react. And so then they were like, wait, I gotta see this.
What is this you doing here?
How did you just, like, you didn't even tell him that he needed to stop crying. You just, but then he did stop crying. It's like, yeah, no, he was crying because he was trying to get my attention. And they're like, but then you gave it to him. And I was like, yes. Yeah. That's what you got to do. Otherwise, it's just, you know, they're going to shut down.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. And maybe you draw from those early days or maybe even just from what you're thinking about right now, what are the kind of some of the biggest pieces of advice that you would give parents where you think kind of most common mistakes that parents tend to make? Or that, you know, overwhelmed parent, like in the beginning, like what are some like bits of advice that you think is really helpful for parents?
Yeah. So I would, the first thing that I would start with, I think this is probably the most transformative thing that any of us can really come to with anything in our life, but especially with our parenting journey. Do you know the band Lawrence? They're getting kind of big now. They had like a really big hit recently called Don't Lose Sight. Anyway, it's like this shit's gonna kill me, but I won't let it. And I'm trying to give them hell and they won't get it. Anyway,
the boy. All right. Sounds familiar. Okay.
It sounds familiar. So they're like getting big on, but they, one of their songs from the most recent album, or maybe the second most recent album, is where the lead singer is just saying like, I don't care about your workout routine. I don't care about the movies that you've seen. I don't care if you've met a pop star. Baby, it's just not all about you. And it's just, she's just talking to this guy who she's met, who is this classic millennial Gen X paradigm that everything is about them. And I was like, man, if there's one thing I can teach parents, it's just like your kids' behaviors are not about you. Mm. Like your kids' struggles, they're not about, this is not a personal attack. Like your kid is going through something developmental. It's not a personal indictment against your parenting. It's not like, this is the reality. It's just not all about you. And I think that is like this fundamental understanding that we have to get to. It's just not. So you cannot take parenting personally. You cannot take the things that your kids do, because they will, if you take it personally, they are going to trigger the absolute mess out of you. Yeah. Because we connect with them so deeply. It's going to happen. So just understanding, first and foremost, it's not all about you. And the way that we get to understanding that, the way that we get to that point, is that we actually have to do our work. And we actually have to reconsider how we were raised. And we have to be willing to hold these nuanced positions and say, hey, you know, maybe I had a good childhood in some ways, but maybe some of the things that my parents did were not leading to my fruitful development. And so this is the point, you know. And by the way, like, it's not an easy process because there are people who don't want you to do that. And I'm not just talking about yourself. Like it's internally difficult to start to reprocess them. But it's also difficult on your family. The first video that I posted that went viral on TikTok, not viral, but you know what I mean, on TikTok, the first, I had zero followers and it got like a couple thousand views. Was I said, this is your reminder this morning that your job is to parent how you would have liked to be parented, not how you were parented. And my mom saw that and she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I know that you love me. I know that you did your best. I know that you did whatever you could with what the whatever, you know, with what you had available to you. But also I know, and you know, that you didn't, it wasn't a perfect process, that none of us is the perfect parent, that all of us have areas of growing edges. So again, her just watching that video, right? And this is not an indictment against her, it's just an indictment against our culture, right? Like even her watching that video, her initial reaction to that is not like, oh, wow, my son is like helping people parent differently and break generational cycles. So I was like, wait, how is this about me? How is this secretly? Are you trying to tell me? Did you make this video just for me? No, like that's why I put it on a platform that you don't even have a profile on.
Yeah.
Like, so just understanding that it's not about you. It's not a personal indictment against you when your kid says no. It's not a sign of disrespect when your kid isn't obedient to you. All of these things are things we have to relearn. And in order to relearn them, we have to do our own work. And that is really, really hard. But that's where it all starts.
Yeah. One of my favorite phrases is behavior doesn't happen to you. It happens in front of you.
Yep.
I think that is exactly what you're speaking to right then and there. And I think that takes a lot of practice to really see that, to really see the behavior, to not take it personally. A phrase that we use in conscious discipline is Q-tip, quit taking it personally. Mm-hmm. Because like, yeah, it's a whole different experience when, you know, a child is having a big emotion, throwing a tantrum, whatever, just, you know, behavior is happening that you did not expect. And you are taking all of that on as opposed to really looking at it as an observer of just,
yep,
you know, really looking at it with curiosity and not furiosity. It's a whole different experience, which allows you to really be in a position to help them as opposed to in a position to judge them. And when we get into this whole judgment thing, it shuts down communication and often puts us further away from the actual, you know, solution that is needed or what is needed to really help this child work through whatever is going on. I'm curious, you know, you mentioned, you know, you read some, you were kind of like on, you were doing the, you took some classes, you didn't make the connection to parenting, and then you started reading the books. What was like, I'm sure you didn't read, you're like, okay, you read 5 books in 1 month, but I'm sure you didn't, you know, just read those books. Like, okay, now I can apply this perfectly. What was like some kind of hiccups along that you kind of noticed that for you that were just like, oh, like this was, okay, I read it, but like actually actively applying it was more difficult than I maybe thought it was going to be.
Yes.
Is there anything like that for you?
This morning or in life? I mean, like,
both.
Right. I mean, yeah. So the answer is like, yes. I think it's funny. I every once in a while, because I'm a dad with 3 young boys, somebody will come up to me and be like, you're such a great dad, like in a grocery store. But I'm actually mortified that anybody who saw me on the internet would see me in public. It happens pretty frequently. But I'm like, man, if you saw me parenting out in public, you'd be like, you need to follow Whole Parent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so like that, I think that all of us struggle to apply the things that we know to our actual lived experience, because kind of as we were saying, right? Approach it with curiosity, not furiosity. The way I put that is get curious, not furious, right? But like, the way that I am living into these things, it doesn't happen overnight. Like, you have to get to a point where you mess up enough times and you're not shaming yourself and you're not judging yourself even for these, for doing this. So I think every day I go through this. And I think that really the main piece for me has been allowing myself the freedom to review my parenting at the end of the day, either with my wife or not, and go, okay, where did I fall short of the ideal? That's not a judgment, right? That's not a, and now I'm going to punish myself for it, right? Because again, I don't think punishment is an effective tool for adults or children. Not how should I be ashamed of myself because I messed up, but where are the places where I could have seen improvement? And I like to say that you get, when your kids go big with their emotions, you have two options. Either you can get them to limbically resonate with you and you can bring them, you can stay calm and you can bring them into calmness, or you can let them suck you into dysfunction. Either way, you and your kid are going to be on the same page by the end of this tantrum. It's either you're going to be on their page or they're going to be on your page. And as me, I need to learn over and over every day how I can get them on my page and not how I can get sucked into their dysfunction. That, you know, which is, it's kind of silly because the only reason that they're in this state of dysregulation and dysfunction is because they don't have a developed brain and I do. So what am I doing? Yeah. But we're triggered. So I, again, kind of gets back to doing your work. And I think that the real place where it started to click with me is when I started to process why my kids were able to suck me in. And it was, it still happens every day, but I find myself getting sucked in less and less because I have realized and they've been able to come to terms with the idea that my kids usually suck me in when they're doing something that I would have been punished or shamed for. Mm. Because it brings up the disgusting, gross, yuck feelings inside of me. And so then I wind up trying to avoid those feelings by going full on compliance, stop whining, stop crying, because their crying is making me feel bad because I haven't done my work. So I think that that's not a specific instance. You have a specific instance. Like yesterday, my kids broke my coffee maker and like they just, I was really more mad at myself for leaving it somewhere where they could break it. But I was just like, girl, just get away from me. Right? So like, I think I didn't go to, what were you thinking? How could you do that? Like, that's where I would have, but I still did not do the like, look, the coffee maker is broken. Right. So yeah. Like, I think I'm on a journey. And I think that where I am on the journey looks like, please step back before I say something that I'm not going to be able to review with grace. That's not on you. And then coming back and saying, I was really upset because I made a mistake here and I was mad at myself and I'm not mad at you.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I don't think the goal is to never get frustrated or mad or angry or disappointed or upset. Like the goal is to really be able to be aware when you are feeling this way and try not to put it on them. And, you know, if it does happen, if you do kind of project your own emotions onto them, then, you know, then the goal becomes, okay, well, how do I show how to repair and kind of how do I come back from this? Right. And so there's the kind of always is like this opportunity. There's never a moment where you do something and then it's like, there's never an opportunity to come back. Now you might do something that is like very harmful and they may still feel those effects down the road, but you still have an opportunity to practice for yourself and model for them how to deal with it when you do something. Because at some point, they're going to probably do something harmful to someone else that really hurts for a while. And a simple, you know, I'm sorry, like, let's play again, isn't going to fix it, right? And so I think, you know, regardless of it, like, I think that's what it is to be human. And so, you know, the... like you said, there is no perfect parent. Like if you do have emotions, you do blow up, like it's all a part of the whole complex relationship emotion thing that we're doing as humans.
It's part of the process too. I mean, I think that this is like one of the things that I think you and I do that maybe is different than other creators is that we both acknowledge the reality of of reality. Like, I don't think that we go down the same path, and I'm not trying to, you know, judge any other creators, but there is this thing of like, so much of parenting advice on TikTok and Instagram is just people showing you the ideal. And it's like, then I get people in my inbox who are like, you're the only person who talks about what happens when it's not ideal. And it's like, I see that from you too. That was modeled to me. Like, actually, the moments when you're not a perfect parent become the most transformative moments, because they show your humanity to your child, and they actually show them like, hey, how do we navigate complex social relationships? Because if you were perfect, like, then actually your kid goes into this other problem, which is that they romanticize how perfect you are. And then they feel like they can never measure up to that. Like, there is one thing at least about my kids is that when they get mad, they know I'm just like dad. And this is how dad models how when they get mad, how we can, you know, repair that, how we can not go to that place. You know, they've seen me pull back my hand, like I just want to throw the thing that just bit me or whatever. Like, it would, you know, I just went with the pliers or something, a ticket. They seem like throw it back, like I'm going to throw it on the ground and go, I probably shouldn't throw this right now and put it down.
Yeah.
But in a way, that actually models for them better than me just going, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they see the whole process.
Right.
And that's actually more transformative to them. They're paying attention to that.
Yeah. So I heard you mention you don't believe in punishments. And I would love to hear more about that. If you don't punish your kids, how do you make sure that they respect you and don't talk back to you and follow the line? And so what do you do? Like, what are your thoughts on punishments, and what do you do in those moments? And let me ask, so what do you do in those moments where you have multi, I think you said 6, 3, and 1. Oh, sorry. 6, 3, and 1. So like the 3-year-old and 6, and they're boys. So like, I'm at, they probably do some kind of rough and tumble play, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you do when, you know, in those situations where someone is maybe intentionally, maybe picking on someone or hurting someone, like, how do you handle those situations where someone's safety or body boundaries are kind of at stake? Surely these are situations where a punishment is needed, right?
No. Yeah. I mean, so here's the facts on punishment, right? So punishment is a really good behavioral modification technique, but it's a really bad teacher. And so if all you care about is modifying behavior, but you don't care about teaching, just punish all day, right? And we actually see this. This isn't only true with kids. We can see this as evidenced in the incarceration system in the United States, which is probably, I think, probably the greatest modern sin in the United States is the way that we incarcerate people. And disproportionately poor and Black and brown people. And so understanding that, like, there was this narrative that's like, if we punish people, they won't, like, recidivism. No, like, no, it doesn't work with adults. It doesn't work with kids. In fact, the only way that we know of currently to help someone to not reoffend if they're incarcerated is education. So this is the thing, is that parents will come to me and say, well, I want to punish for this thing, I want to get respect or whatever, and I just try and offer them, if you want to teach your kid to respect you, then respect them. It's really not that deep. If you want to when you have a boss at work and they respect the hell out of you, you respect them back. If you have a boss at work that treats you like garbage, you may not say anything to them about it because your job is on the line, because they literally have influence over your livelihood. But behind their back, you're talking all sorts of crap about them. But at the water cooler, you're talking all about how they came in late and what were they doing. And you have a boss that absolutely respects you. And just when you make a mistake, your boss comes alongside you as a consultant and not a, you know, controlling tyrant, and works with you to fix that problem that you've gotten yourself into. somebody else in the water cooler starts talking bad about them, you're going, no, that's not who they are. And so understanding that, like, this is true for kids too. If you respect kids, they're going to respect you. And I think that there are times when you can allow the consequences of your child's actions to feel not good in their body. And, like, I want to separate here because people always take this natural extreme. Like, oh, you're going to let your kid run in the street until they get hit by a car so they learn not to? No, we also have to educate around those boundary issues where you don't get a take two. You don't let your kids touch a hot stove. I have a scar to show you why that's not a good idea. It was not a learning experience for me. It was traumatic. So understanding that, like, you can actually let the rough and tumble play. Like, my 3-year-old bites my 6-year-old. My 6-year-old stops the game and he walks away. And, or, you know, maybe he pushes him off of him because he goes, get off of me. I don't want you on me. This is my body and I have autonomy, right? My kids say this type of stuff because I repeat it over and over. And I say it to them when they crawl on me and I go, I don't want you touching my body right now. That actually teaches them. I get to say that to other people too, yeah. Right? So don't get walked all over by your kids, set boundaries, but, you know, those boundaries don't have to be met with punishment. It's about respect. So understanding that, like, that's the broken relationship. And my 3-year-old gets it. He was nonverbal until he was like 2.5. He still understood it even before he was verbal. Man, this is the cause and effect relationship of my actions. If I take it too far, that's the lie. I learned where the line was. And the consequence was broken relationship, which is, by the way, why we don't walk around biting people as adults. Because the consequence is broken relationship. People think, I made a video the other day. It said, you know, people are all focused on, well, they're going to wind up in jail. They're going to wind up getting fired from their job. You don't go through life not doing things because you're going to wind up in jail or get fired from your job. You make conscious choices based on how those choices are going to impact your flourishing. And so punishment is ineffective in so many ways. But you just really, I think the job of a parent is to try and direct the conscious attention of their children to the natural outcomes of their actions. And they will learn through the process what to do. And I will also say, with the natural, the bodily autonomy stuff and the intentionally inflicting harm stuff, when my kids are in environments with other kids, one of the most common things that people will come to me and tell me is they'll say, wow, your kids really respect boundaries of other kids. When they say stop, your kids stop. And when another kid gets hurt, other kids will flee from the crying kid because I've been taught that crying is a nuisance and a problem and I need to get away from anybody who's crying because I don't want to be lumped in with that bad crying kid. My kids go to the kids who cry, even my 1-year-old. And people are like, you can't teach empathy to a 1-year-old. I mean, if you're super responsive to your 1-year-old, they may, now my 6-year-old, when he was 1, did not do this. But, you know, if you're super empathetic to a 1-year-old, they may walk over and rub another baby's back when they fall down because they've seen it modeled enough times that they understand that that's, you walk towards people who are hurting. Yeah. So understanding that, like, all of this is really trained into us. And then there's the, you know, I don't want to go too deep on this, but then there's the brain science part of the punishment thing, which is, as their primary caregiver, they understand that you have all of this power over them. Like, they understand it. If you don't think that you're powerful as a parent, you are incredibly powerful. And they understand it. They know that you are bigger than them, stronger than them, louder than them, and that you dictate everything in their life. Even if you don't think they do, they know this. Your 3-year-old knows it. Your 1-year-old knows it. Your 6-year-old knows it. Your 10-year-old knows it. Whether or not they try and push back on that is a whole other conversation. But they know that you have power. When you inflict punishment, threats, or even bribes and rewards, what you're doing is you're leveraging your power. And because they understand that you have power, their brain just shuts down. They can't learn a thing. When you're like, if you do that again, I'm going to... They just turned you off because all they're in is survival mode right now. And people don't learn well in survival mode. Yeah. You're an educator. do kids learn well when they come from unstable home environments where there's food scarcity, or when they're walking to school, there's a threat of violence against them? No.
No, it takes a lot of time to build that safety so that the learning, so all the other learning can happen.
Right. And so the same is true with our kids. You scare the absolute mess out of your, you could easily scare the absolute mess out of your kid. And there's no good learning that comes in those moments. There may be behavioral conditioning that comes out of that, but most kids don't know why. It's why when you go to the park and you hear about a kid, so, you know, I had this in a recent email. I said, you know, I go to the park all the time and I'll hear kids talk about, well, how is your day so far? Well, my son will love to ask people that. He loves to ask other kids. And they're just like, that's a weird question for a kid. But he's like, how's your day been going? And they'll be like, not good. My mama popped me. And it's like, oh, tell me, why did your mom hit you? He knows that hit means pop. Pop means hit. And they get real uncomfortable because like, no, she popped me. She didn't hit me. It's like, he's like, well, it's the same thing. So he's like, so why did she hit? I don't know.
Yeah.
Kids will say this more times than not. A child will respond to, why did I get hit with? I have no idea. Now you tell me what they learned when they don't even know what they're being punished for. And it's the reason that they don't know is because they're in survival mode.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a child that I was working with that we were playing Uno, and he, this was his first time playing Uno. This was an 8-year-old child. And I had just, there was a rule that he was unclear about, and I had kind of cleared it up for him. And he was like, there was this look of realization when he kind of realized what I was saying. It was like, oh, it was kind of this eureka moment. And I live for those moments. I love to see that moment of this realization. Like, I get it, like light bulb moment. But then that moment was kind of immediately interrupted by him slapping himself. And I, you know, was curious, like, okay, so like, why did you slap yourself? And he said, out of his mouth, he said, because of discipline, right? And I said, you don't have to hurt yourself to learn something new. And it's just, you know, I've never seen it be so clear and just what the child is and communicating in that moment.
Kids are mirrors, man. Kids are mirrors. Like, they will show you things that you don't want to see.
100%.
They're like those mirrors at Bed Bath and Beyond that you get all, like, you get close to them and they're like magnifying mirrors. And you're like, I did not know that my pores looked like that. Like, don't show me that. That's what kids are like.
Yeah, it is definitely they will zoom in on specific parts. And sometimes that is what we need there. I really do see it as like we are simultaneously really learning with our children kind of side by side. And they give us so many opportunities for things like reflection and learning too. That's something else I want to point out that you said, that like, I really think that is, I don't know, like, honestly, the most important skill of everything, to be able to just reflect on what happened and to be able to kind of like assess, like, okay, this is where, you know, this is what I could have done better. This is like, and noticing kind of the things that happen and noticing the chain of events and noticing like the part that we played in whatever the problem, whatever that big thing was that happened. Honestly, like, I think that is, you know, that is something that I've really carried with me kind of throughout my career. And without that, I would probably still be using threats and punishments, and that's really where I feel like the learning, that intense learning, is for us. Like, you learn something, you read whatever, you try it, you make the mistake, the experience, and then you reflect on it, and then you try again the next day.
Well, and you know, I know that we're kind of running out of time here, but just to say that your child's, you know, we're in the midst of the greatest teen mental health crisis in the Western world that we have ever been in, right? We've never had kids who are as seemingly ready to self-harm and, you know, to the ultimate degree, you know, the suicidality epidemic. There has never been a more important time to teach kids how to narrativize, that is, make a story out of their experience. Because this, trauma counselors have known for 50 years that if you can put the experiences, your life into words and make a story out of your life, that begins before the traumatic event and ends after the traumatic event, where you can say it was in the past and I am now saved. Like, that experience is the difference between, you know, a traumatic experience overwhelming you oftentimes and being able to cope with that reality. And so being able to go look back on our life and see the ways in which we could have done things differently. Like, this is where I get to with so many parents, is that I'll be like, okay, so what was it like when you were growing up? They're like, I don't really remember my childhood. And I'm like, huge red flag. Huge red flag. You learned that you couldn't trust your experience of the world. And so you just believed that your memories were essentially, you know, useless. And so you have now repressed and blocked out huge parts of your childhood because you were being either gaslit or punished to such an extent where, even if it was just through shame, right? Some of these kids never, their parents never laid a hand on them, but it was through shame. You were being gaslit and punished to such an extent that now you can't narrativize, you can't create a narrative out of your life journey. And now I have to, before you can parent better, I have to teach you first how to tell the story of what has happened to you. Even if it's not going all the way back to when you were five, we got to be able to tell the story of what happened to you today, last week, last month, because that's going to be your kid's greatest defense in the war on mental health, the teen mental health crisis. And so understanding that this is like fundamentally important, the ability to be able to go back non-judgmentally and assess and make change.
We're about to run out. I know you have the subscription service. Yes. That you are opening up to everyone to support. Yes. Parents out there. Yes. If you could share a quick tip. Yep. And also tell us about the subscription service in the last couple. Yep. Of minutes, we would. Yep. Be forever grateful.
Yeah. So quick tip, beyond not taking things personally, is to reprocess anything that you think you have to do in the moment with your kid. You can do it 2 hours later. That's my quick tip. So if you think that you find your kid, they're coloring on the walls or something, yes, you might need to take away the marker, prevent future harm, whatever. Your kid punches another kid at the park. Yes, you may need to apologize to that child and maybe their parents. Anything that you need to process with your kid, you can do 2 hours later, and it's going to be 10 times more effective. So that's your quick tip for the day. Timing is everything in parenting. You want to stop repeating yourself, just do it later. I promise you, you will have to say it 10 times less if you just do it when they're receptive to it. And as far as the membership, the whole parent membership, you know, this is the best way. If you're vibing with the types of things and the ways that I talk on social media, this is the best way to go deep with me. I have an entire course that's inside the membership that would probably retail for, you know, $99 to $149, somewhere in that range, based on what other parenting creators charge for their courses. You get that on day one. You could sign up for a month. It's $25 a month during the second enrollment, which is what we're in right now. It's only open for a week. So on Friday, May 5th, it closes. I can't reopen the doors. Literally, the link expires. So at Friday, May 5th, that's when it closes. But you can get the entire course, $25 a month. Group coaching with me every single week, different times, so that we hit different time zones every week. We do a monthly workshop. The last one was called How to Not Lose Your on Your Kids. I don't know how PC we are on this podcast, but yeah, How to Not Lose It on Your Kids. We do a monthly workshop, and honestly, the real best part of this is that you get access to what I consider to be the most supportive parenting community on the internet, because honestly, the stuff that we're talking about here with Mr. Chats with me, this is pretty progressive kind of new stuff. And you cannot do this parenting journey alone. None of us can do it alone. And if you need to find that support, you have that support in the Whole Parent Membership. So consider joining the Whole Parent Membership. Like I said, $25 a month. If you pay annually, you save 2 months, it's $250. But weekly group coaching, a full course, the best community, parenting community on the internet, and a monthly workshop.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?